Well, let's open our Bibles this evening to John chapter 3. And let's take a look this evening I think I want to continue reading verses 14 through 18 in John chapter 3, since we're our lesson this evening and we're continuing to talk about the subject of healing. Let's begin with verse 14 and let's read along. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now let's just stop just for a second. Let's back up a second and read that again. And if you notice, it says, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, colon. So there's something that's going to come past that, isn't it? And what? That. Oh, boy. That. What? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Meaning, you got to look to the one on the pole. That. Whosoever believeth in the one that was crucified. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. It's not, you know, we don't want to read over that. Let's look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. And Sunday, we were just reading a few scriptures, and I'd like to read those again, because it blessed me just for a moment, if you would indulge me, as they say. Let's look at these two scriptures again. Psalm 23, and let's look at just verse 1 again. Sometimes we need to just remind ourselves and look at the scripture and what God has promised. He said, the Lord, this is David writing here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't say I might not want, it says I shall not want. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's like saying I don't have a need. And if you read in some of the modern translations, that's exactly what it says. The New Living says, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I have all that I need. And I won't read all of them, but the Message translation says, God my shepherd, I don't need a thing. I like that. God my shepherd, I don't need a thing. Now, I wonder at that point if David did in the natural, and he was expressing that God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. All my needs are met. And I like the Young's literal translation. It says, a psalm of David, Jehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. And here is where, and the reason I wanted to go back through this, just to highlight this scripture one more time, is that when we read the scripture, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack, I don't have a want, I don't have anything that I need, Or it says in the Good News Translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I have everything I need. Well, let me ask a question. Does one, if you walk by faith and not by sight, do you wait until you have everything to say you have everything, or do you say what the Word says before you have it? Absolutely. And so when the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I have everything I need. Then that is a profession of faith in who? God, my shepherd. And he's a good shepherd. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we can by faith say, I have everything I need. I don't lack anything. You know, when you read some of the stories about Brother Hagin, and he talks about it and you can read about it, he had holes in his shoes and walked to his meetings, and he would preach on prosperity. He didn't have a car. He walked to the meetings and would preach in those country churches and walk home. But he would preach that God has met all my needs and I'm prosperous. And little by little, by little, by little, God took him from there and raised him up. Wasn't overnight, but he raised him up and brought him from where he was to where he was in the ministry. But it takes somebody to believe God and not look at their circumstances and not be moved by their circumstances. And every one of us, when the circumstances are bigger than God's word to you, then you will have what you see. You will live in that. You'll live in what you see. And you'll have what you see. But when God's word is bigger than the circumstances, then you'll have what God promises. If we faint not. And that goes for every one of us. You know, you could be anointed of God, but if you don't believe God for yourself, you won't reap what God has promised. And so every single one of us have to trust and believe God for what he promised. And we can have it. That's the exciting part. We can have it if we trust him. And that's the exciting thing to me, is that God is not a respecter of persons. And that's just exactly what the Bible says. He said, there is no respect of persons with God. The New Living says that God does not show favoritism. So he's not going to look on you any differently than me. He's not going to say, you know, I like that person over there. I'm just going to reward them differently than you. And, you know, you just have to fend for yourself. Deal with it. You know what I mean? Or, you know, we walk through life and think, you know, somehow God must have, why are they always getting blessed? Why am I not getting blessed? Well, it's about an inch under your nose. That's why. Because you're saying so. You're talking it. And God, that's what I like. The Bible in basic English says, for one man is not different from another before God. One man is not different from another before God. And the Good News says God judges everyone by the same standard. So nothing is impossible with God to those who believe. And we need to take that position and not look at any of the circumstances at all when we are trusting and believing God. And let's turn over to 2 Timothy before we start here this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we know this particular scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. God says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," and that word power is dunamis, "and of love and of a sound mind." And most of the modern translations I like because it makes it a little more plain. The New Living Translation says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity." That makes it real plain. "But of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Good News Translation says, "For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid." And God's Word Translation says, "God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but of power, love, and good judgment." And what I was sharing on Sunday is that the devil works hard to get us to question what God has already promised. And if you're in faith, faith reaches out and takes. Takes what? Takes what is promised by God. And something that is taken, just like we've heard all the stories with Brother Hagin, he said, "Well, now, the Spirit of God said to him, 'Well, I believe I receive.' And the Spirit of God said to him, 'Okay, well, people would be up at this time of the day.'" And he said he could not walk. He was so weak. He was 80-some pounds. That's skin and bone. And he took his leg and threw it over the side of the bed. I wonder how many of us would do that if we were in that condition and not look at the circumstances, but believe God and say, "I'm getting out of this bed because God has promised." And I say the same thing to myself. I believe I would do that. But one way to be sure that you would do that is to plant seed. Keep planting seed. Keep planting seed. Keep planting seed. And, you know, none of us really know for absolute surety. You know, we, in peacetime, we say, "Oh yeah, I'd do this. Yeah, I'd do this." Yeah, until a gorilla is up in your nose. And then you go, I don't know. Yeah, well, one way that would make you King Kong is to get that word down in your spirit so that when something comes, just like Pastor Sarah's analogy, what happens when the tube of toothpaste is squeezed? Toothpaste comes out. So when you're squeezed, what happens? You don't shudder, you aren't timid, the word comes out because you're squeezed. And you say, "No! That's mine! No!" And I was surprised. When I say surprised, a few years ago, it was in 08, I was sitting by that sound booth, and I have no idea. I mean, I had made my dietary adjustments, had done all that, exercising, and a pressure hit me back here. It was the kind of an odd thing. I never experienced it. Pressure, and all of a sudden, I'm losing like all of my sense of faculties. And I just got up. I didn't tell anybody. I just got up and walked out the back, held onto the wall. And I'm kind of scurrying down the wall saying, "In Jesus' name," I said, "this is a curse. I curse you in the name of Jesus." And I began to things bubble up and out. And it bubbled up and out for 3 days. And I had a sense of peace down here. And in bed at night, And all my faculties were all, you know how to say, wacky? Just squirrely, wacky. Your whole motor system was off. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't care because it was a curse. And we had just started the Bible classes in the evening. And I said, oh, no, you don't. No. And in 3 days, it left like it never came. Just, poof, it's gone. Body functioning normally. I never picked up the phone, never entered my mind, never even the thought, never entered, go to the doctor and call the ambulance. It never was there. And I thought, this is the truth, I thought, wow, that was a new experience for me. Because in times past, a thought may have come, do this, do this, do this, do this. But the thought never came. It never came. And I thought, is this the result of keep planting seed down in here so that when pressure comes, you're not even thinking that way. You're thinking, no, get. And it doesn't matter because the word is coming up and out. You're not moved by the symptoms. You're not even moved. You're not even concerned. Concern doesn't even enter your mind. Worry doesn't enter your mind. Doesn't even enter your soulish realm. Doesn't even enter there. Because what's coming up and out is the word. And I said, well, that was a new experience for me. New in the physical attack, but also the response was new. And I said, well, this was good. This was good. And I said, okay, then that tells me if you keep feeding on the word and you keep planting the seed in the garden, in the heart, in the spirit, that at some point, you're going to reap. It's going to produce. And we will walk in divine health. That doesn't mean you will not face some kind of attack, something that'll come against you. Doesn't mean that, but you're going to respond in a different way. You're going to respond and say, no, go. And at some point, the results will get quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. What took a month will take a week. What took a week will take a day. What took a day will take an hour. And what takes an hour will take seconds. And from seconds, immediately. But it takes feeding and feeding and planting and planting and feeding and exercising. And don't faint. Because you'll reap if you faint not. I'm telling you, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is just stirring me in this area tonight. Don't faint. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. You're coming along. You're getting there. Don't give up. Don't feed on what the doctor's saying. You got to live with this, honey. No, I don't. God is greater. Yes. See, when you listen, and I was impressed this evening, I was sharing with Pastor Greg, I was looking at some material in Christ the Healer, and I'll tell you, it blessed me, and I may share some paragraphs from this book. But I believe it's the Holy Ghost because a dear sister was moved by the Spirit of God tonight to share an exhortation. I looked at Pastor Greg and I said, that's what the Holy Ghost is saying tonight. It right is, right there. Bingo. Bing, 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 bing. You know, they're doing a slot machine. Bing, 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 bing. That's it. There it is. That was the Holy Ghost talking. Don't look at your circumstances. It's all under control. Don't look at it. Look to me. Look to me. Don't look at the circumstances. Look to the word. Look to the word. Look to the word. Feed on the word. Feed on him. and don't look at the circumstances. And you'll literally walk right out of them. And they'll become a distant, just a distant thing. Yeah, that happened to me a long time ago. I don't really even remember it. And every single one of us will reap if we faint not, if we don't give up. And that'll apply whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether it's family, children. I don't care what it is. You're going through something and you're looking at circumstances and you're saying, man, ain't no way that's going to change. Well, to you, the circumstances is bigger than the Word of God. To you. And the Bible says, nothing is impossible to those who believe. And that means I don't care what it is, it'll change. It's temporal. It has to change. God's word is bigger. He's greater to those who believe. And let me share this particular scripture. Got me just shouting tonight. Okay, where to go? What'd you do with it, Pastor Greg? He took it. That's what happened. He took it. It's all his fault. I found it right here. Yeah. He's got a different translation. Right. All right. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Sometimes we need to just stop and stir ourselves up in the Lord and feed and meditate on God and how big He is and how great He is in our lives, and stop looking at the circumstances and how you know big you think it is. Romans 15, chapter 13. Romans 15, verse 13, excuse me. Verse 13. And I'm going to preface this by saying faith doesn't worry. Faith does not worry. Faith doesn't worry about your what the doctor says. Faith doesn't worry about what you have or don't have. Now let's look at King James Version. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Oh, yeah. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read that again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me read this in another translation so that you can hook up here. This is the New International Version. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Is that good? Yeah. Let the God of peace, let the God of all hope, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of us are not walking in joy and peace because we're not trusting in Him. We're trusting in the circumstances. We're looking at the circumstances. We're looking at them, and we've moved away from trusting in Him, so we're walking around looking like a prune. Because we're looking at the circumstances, and we're not full of joy and full of peace. And I include myself in that in times in my life. that I've looked at things and not trusted fully in him. And what happens? You start to worry. You start to fret. What am I going to do? How's this going to work? Oh my God. You're not full of joy and you're not full of peace. And it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. So you can't work up some joy and work up some peace. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. No. It's going to come. It's going to come from trusting in him through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, don't let that slip. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this tonight, you're going to walk out of here looking and saying, oh, no, sorry, Lord, I moved away from trusting you. I'm going to trust you and stir up that faith and trust in you. And I believe for joy and peace through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's why when it says it'll gird your mind and your heart. So now when the joy and the peace comes, you're walking in a cocoon, you're walking through and they say, don't that bother you? Woo! No, not at all. And they look at you like, what is he on? I'm on joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm on. Yeah. Listen to the Amplified. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Oh yeah. How many of us are bubbling over with hope? See, and this is what I say. This is a good gauge. If I'm not bubbling over with hope, I need to step back and say, okay, what are my eyes on? What am I looking at? What's my trust in? Because if my trust is in the Lord, this said by the power of the Holy Ghost, he's going to fill me with all joy and peace through his Spirit. And it's not the things I see won't bother me. I'll be full of joy and peace. Isn't that the truth? That's what the word says. Now listen to this translation. You sitting down? If you're not, get up, because it's going to be good anyhow. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that the power of the Holy Spirit, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, now listen to this, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Your whole outlook will be radiant with hope. Your whole outlook. Your whole outlook will be radiant with hope. I don't know what we're going to do today. You know, I don't know how we're going to make it. What outlook is that? That outlook is looking at the circumstances. And I'll tell you, it's a good gauge. When people start to talk, you'll pinpoint it. You'll know what they're looking at. And you can catch yourself. See? And that's the one thing. We can catch and go, whoop, 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 whoop. What am I been looking at? Sorry. Oop. Got my eyes off the master. I'm looking at the circumstances. I'm listening to the doctor. I'm looking at the bank account, and I'm talking about it. I'm not bubbling over with hope. I'm bubbling over with, you know, like Linus, garbage coming out, right? That's what's bubbling out, is stuff that's in my heart. I'm not full of the trust of God, and I'm not full of joy and peace, and it's radiant and evident in me. I'll tell you, if we start just little by little, and I didn't say it was comfortable. What's comfortable got to do with it? You stir yourself up in the Lord and stir up this in you, and here it is here. This, I believe, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong here, but when the Bible says we're to stir ourselves up in the Lord, that means something that I do. I'm stirring myself up. This is not talking about that. This is not talking about stirring myself up in the Lord. This is saying here that by trusting in Him, the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, right? And that is by the power of the Holy Ghost, He fills you. I'm not stirring myself up. All I'm doing is trusting Him. I'm looking to Him. I'm keeping my eyes on Him. I'm rejoicing that He's doing the work. I'm rejoicing that the healing power is working in me. I thank you, Lord. The healing power is working. It's working. It's working. It's working in me right now. And by that, He begins to pour into me and stir in me by the power of the Holy Ghost, joy and peace. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. But the minute we take our eyes off the Lord, and let me just read this, because these are some things. It do you good to get this book, because you just feed on it. This to me is like, I won't say it's like the Bible, but this book here supplements the Bible. But the revelation in this book, whew, boy, I'll tell you. Tremendous. There's so much here to read. Well, let me just read. I'll read a sentence or two here. It says, God here teaches us that if we are occupied with looking and feeling instead of with Him and His Word, we will lose all He offers us. On the other hand, by steadfastly refusing to see anything but God and what He says, we shall have and keep everything that He says He has given us. It says here, Satan is busy trying to take from us what we take from God, and so God bids us hold fast that thou hast. That's Revelation 3, verse 11. Jesus gave Peter the power to walk on the water, but the devil took it from him by getting him to fix his attention on the wind, representing things we feel, and on the waves, representing things we see. Peter had the power and used it, but lost it by doubting. He began to see and feel. And sank. How many lose the manifestation of healing already in operation by turning their attention from Christ and the Word of God to their feelings before taking the step of faith for healing? Get this matter fully settled, that after taking the step, you are going to see nothing but God and what He says. From that moment, doubt should be regarded is out of the question and out of reason, because the evidence upon which you have planted your feet is the Word of God. To watch your feelings or symptoms would be like a farmer digging up a seed to see if it's growing. We know that's silly. We wouldn't do that. And of course, he has some other analogies and different things that I won't share at this point. We'll maybe share them on Sunday. But this word is pregnant with life. And the scriptures are so. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. If we just keep our focus on Him and not look to circumstances, how big they are, then we'll walk out of those circumstances every single time. Every time. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, and it's so important. Let's take a moment and just, I want to just look at a few scriptures here. Let's turn to Matthew 15 just for a moment. Matthew 15 and verse 18. And let's look at verse 18. It says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where?" It says, "The heart." And they do what? They defile the man. And some of the other versions, the New Living says that, "But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you." So it's defiling that particular word can mean in the Greek, it can mean to corrupt the purity or perfection of something. So it'll debase it, it'll corrupt it. So we can, by the words of our mouth, corrupt or tear up something that's begun to work in us. And because we don't see it, it doesn't feel like it, it doesn't look like it's changing, because we can't see it, we think it's not working. So we begin to corrupt that or defile it or debase it with our words. And as long as we stay steady, if God said, "I will do this, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you might receive them." No, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So we need to, if we've prayed in faith and we trust in God, then we need to look to Him and trust that He'll fill us full of joy and peace by the power of the Holy Ghost and sustain us. Let's look at Mark 7 for a moment. Mark 7. I tell you, God is looking for a people that will not deviate to the left or to the right and will trust Him to the uttermost, because it's going to take that in these last days. I remember a story, as you're turning there, I heard Brother Hagin teaching this on a tape. He said the Lord Jesus appeared to him in a vision, one of the seven times that He appeared. And He was teaching him something, and there was something, I believe Brother Hagin was saying, there was something going on in his body, and Jesus, I spoke to it, and it's not changing. And he said, Jesus said to him, "I said, it will change." And Brother Hagin said, "Yeah, but it's not changing." And he said, the Lord looked at him and said, "I said, it will change." Something to that effect. And Brother Hagin said, "Yeah, Lord, but it's not changing." And he did this about three or four times with the Lord in an open vision. And he said the last time, the Lord, fire came out of his eyes, and he said, "I said, it will change." And then he left. And Brother Hagin said, "I got it." I guess you would get it after that. He said, I got it. He said it would change. And it did. And that's how some of us, you know, we start looking at things. We're in this flesh, and sometimes the senses and things, if we don't keep feeding on the Word and meditating on it and keep saying what God says, and we get over looking at something, we can find ourselves to meditate on a circumstance and begin to talk about it. Did you get to Mark 7? Let's look at verse 14. And it says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into where? His heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught. Or that, another word would be sewer. Purging all the meats. And he saith, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within or out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we can see here that out of the abundance of the heart, we can speak things that can corrupt or debase or defile a work that started in us, either in us physically or for us. We might be speaking some things concerning our lives, and we certainly want to keep the promises of God in perspective. So as we close this evening, Let's make this again, this profession of faith. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, every sickness and every plague that touches my body dies instantly. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Every sickness and every disease not written in the book of this law is a curse. Therefore, this symptom in my body is a curse. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from this symptom. So therefore, I forbid it to exist in my body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I could stay here for a while and just feed on this. But I know folks need to go home. And I believe what I heard the Spirit of God say this evening as we were sitting at the end of praise and worship, I believe I heard him say that there's some in here that are looking at their circumstances, and that if they get their eyes off of that, they'll walk right out of it, and their circumstances will change. But they've got to trust him and not focus on the circumstance, not keep their eye on it, not look at it. And one of the things written in here, which is really highlighted in John chapter 3, verse 14, which we read at the beginning of the lesson. And it says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And of course, we know in Numbers 21, verse 8, it says, It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And F.F. Bosworth points out, and of course we know these things, but it's important to remember. He said here, everyone that looketh. Looking means to be occupied and influenced with what we're looking at. Occupied and influenced with what we're looking at. So looking at something means I'm occupied and influenced by what I'm looking at. So they were exhorted to look upon that brazen snake, image of Christ, and to be occupied and influenced. Everyone that looked upon it was healed. And it said here, it is equivalent of Abraham's refusing to consider his own body and waxing strong in faith by looking unto the promises of God. Being occupied and influenced by our feelings or symptoms is reversing the conditions which God requires. Looking means attention. Looking means also expectation. Looking also means to consider. As we read, Sarah considered that she could rely upon him who had promised. And there were a number of other things that he highlighted, but we need to be occupied and influenced with this. We need to be occupied with the word and influenced by this. We look to the word, we look to him, and we will have the promises of God. We'll live in them. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody have any thoughts this evening other than hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, praise God, I got the victory, I'm walking in the victory. We got it all covered, really? So there's nothing, we don't need to say anything else. That's it. You're walking in the victory. You got it going. All right, praise God. Amen. I would just share that every time you have an opportunity or the thought comes during the day, take the time out to begin to make professions. If you're not already doing it, I do it. Even as busy as we are, I mean, I'll take the time to make a profession. It's building that seed down here. It's watering it. It's professing it. It's creating a spiritual habit. Because if your habits are to pick up and to look at and to call the doctor and to get analysis and to research it, if that's your habit, then when the pressure comes, that's what you're going to do. You're going to look to that means for a solution. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And when there's no answer, you're going to be in despair. But when one puts their trust in the Lord, and it's in trust and by the power of the Holy Ghost, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace by your trusting in Him, by the power of the Holy Ghost. That to me means that's my solution, that's my source, and that's pleasing to Him. And I'm not going to worry or fret about what I see because my trust is in the Lord. And I'm not going to be concerned. I didn't say thoughts of concern wouldn't come. Oh, they'll come. They'll come. Doesn't look like you're going to make it. How are you going to pay the rent? You just lost your job. The doctor just said, you got 6 months to live. What are we going to do? Well, I already had the Holy Ghost tell me once, you only got 6 months to live. And I didn't fall down and cry. I didn't. I just said, okay, what are we going to do? And at that point, I was standing, believing God. And he said, you need to go to the doctor and get your stomach checked. So I did. And he directed me to do some things. That was trusting in the Lord. And it was different for me, but that was trusting in the Lord. That was a direction for me to do. Because I needed to make some corrections. But other than that, I can tell you, after that happened, See, that's why I say you can't get stuck with a method. Because that was in 2001. In 2008, when that pressure hit, I stood and confessed the word, 3 days gone. So I didn't go to the doctor because he didn't tell me to. So you can't get stuck on a method. I'll tell you what method you need to get stuck on, the word. And directing and being directed by the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to be stuck on. And follow him, trust him. Trusting him means I look to him and let him lead me. And it's going to be all good.
Pastor Ed.
Pastor Greg.
When you were sharing just now, when you were reading from Numbers, and I was looking at it, and I kept looking at it and looking at it and you know, reciting that, and then again the way it's written in John 3:14. And the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, one of the problems is that the people think that because a sickness comes and attaches, that means this doesn't work. The script in that example given in Numbers and then repeated again in John 3, it didn't say that looking at him would prevent them from being bitten.
Right.
It didn't say that.
Yeah.
It said when they were bitten, they focused and looked upon the brass serpent and they lived.
And they lived.
They didn't die.
Right.
See, so we think because our focus stays on Jesus, nothing's going to happen to us. And then something happens and we fall to pieces. But the verse tells us, you keep focused on Jesus. You keep him lifted up. And that thing that bit you won't kill you.
Won't kill you. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. If you faint not. That's what I heard in my spirit tonight before I came out here. I just heard the word, if you faint not. You will reap if you faint not. That goes for all of us. We get right down to crunch time. You know how you talk about basketball players, they keep going, or football players. They'll score if they faint not. They'll make the basket. They'll win if they faint not. They could be right on the edge of winning and go, man, this is too hard, and that just mentally they crash. They don't step up. They give up.
Well, right there in that analogy, what happens if you've ever played football and it's cold? Football players do not feel the cold unless they're losing. Once they're losing and things aren't going right, now it gets cold and now my fingers get numb. And now when I hit the ground, it feels much harder. And it's the same way we're making our daily confessions with our mouths. They're not always heartfelt confessions, but I have to get up in the morning and I have to do my devotionals. I have to do my confessions. And we take a hit. And the minute we take a hit, instead of keeping our focus more intently on the word, we start examining the thing that hit us.
Yep.
We start studying it. We start reading its reputation. And then we start getting weary. Because after all, if all of this worked, we think it should have never, ever touched me. But just the fact that it touched me means that maybe there's something that I'm not quite right with this believing. And we start to get weary and weary, and we go past faint. We just pass all out and just pass out and just give up. And we may even get over into this word stuff doesn't work. We have to get to, like, we can't faint.
You faint.
We have to just hold on. This is what the word has said. And it doesn't matter that the circumstance never read it. It doesn't matter. As long as you know it and you have it, now it's a heartfelt confession, not a head confession. It's heartfelt. And then when it gets in your heart, you don't care what comes. You're not letting go of what God has said and of what he's told you, what you know his promises are.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's make this one profession as we leave. The word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's working mightily in us. Thank you that it's bringing to pass that which you said it will, and that it will not return void. Thank you that the word is alive, full of life, full of power, and it's driving out of our bodies sickness and disease, and it's changing and correcting and replacing and restoring. And we thank you that not only healings are taking place, but miracles are taking place in our bodies. Parts that were taken out are being restored, being replaced. And we thank you, Father, that miracles are taking place in this place, in Jesus' name, because of the word of God. And Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, and thank you and count it done in Jesus' name. Amen.